I'm going to summarize. She is a really good cook and her kids loves her cooking and her baking. So one day she was making cookies and they came in and they said, "Oh good, mom's making cookies. We love your cookies." And she said, "Well, that's because it's made with a special ingredient." And then she proceeds to pretend to spit into the bowl. And so her kids naturally were very grossed out and said, "Oh, I thought when you said that, that was love, but it's been your spit all along." So she said, to this day, when they have a good homemade meal, they still comment that it has the special ingredient in it of her mommy spit. All right, please welcome Nancy.
I need to use the mic. Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, thanks for having me, you guys. One of the things that they wanted me to speak about today, first of all, I love that devotion, that peace train. I don't know if you guys, that's from our era, Amy, like Cat Stevens, peace train. It's an old song, you guys, from the 70s. But anyway, do we have a PowerPoint going? Did we get the PowerPoint loaded or no?
She told me there was no PowerPoint.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Okay, so that's my familia. So that's David right there in the flannel shirt, and that's James and Andrew, and that's me, obviously. So the one in the plaid shirt, he's the one in Nashville. He wanted to buy a house here, but couldn't afford it, so he decided to move to Nashville, so... But anyway, they're great. In fact, we FaceTimed with them last night, and I told them that I was speaking today, and I told him the funny story about the anecdote about the special ingredient, and he smiled. So yeah, it's a family joke. So okay, we're working on it. Okay, that's okay. So we'll kind of like integrate it as it goes along. So our family is a little atypical. We're not a typical Orange County family. My husband grew up on a ranch up in Oregon, and so that's where we vacation all the time. And I'll show you pictures as soon as we can get those loaded, if we can get those loaded, but no big deal if we don't. But I guess my point today, I guess they wanted me to speak about the decision whether to work after having kids or not. And it's a really polarizing question. Oh, okay, that's a special ingredient right there. That's my son David when he was younger, and he's got special ingredient all over his face. And wasn't he cute? Oh, he's so cute. Anyway, that's our ranch. So that's the ranch that we go to every summer instead of Italy. And that is the reason why our boys no longer want a vacation with us. Yeah. And then, so this is kind of the outline for this morning. We can just kind of camp out here for a second. You guys like that cartoon? I love that cartoon. What? I only get one day off a year? Yeah, but technically you still have to work. Right? Isn't that the truth? Never a day off for moms. So the decision to work, like I said, it's a kind of a polarizing, it really has to be kind of an individual decision. So I'm going to just share you kind of my story today about how I came to that decision. Some people work because, some people feel the best place to be is at home raising their kids, and I 100% agree with that. But some people feel gifted in a successful career that they have worked hard for and they don't want to give up. And I can relate to that. And then others have to work for financial reasons. And I can relate to that. I don't know if you guys know how much teachers make, but it's not a lot. And then some put their careers on hold until after the kids were old enough. And I did that as well. So I kind of meet all that criteria. It's kind of weird. So the big question I kind of want you guys to, if you haven't already, wrestling with is like, what's your motivation to work? Is it financial? Do you guys need to? Like, I honestly totally get that. In California, it's really hard to live on a one-income family unless, you know, unless your husband does really well and he's not a teacher. Or is it kind of more a sense of, I want the title, I want the sense of identity, and then what's that rooted in? Right? That's kind of pride calling. And then, or is a calling from God? So mine was a calling from God. So I have it, and I couldn't find it. I really wanted to find this picture. I think I drew it in first grade. And I have a picture of me bending over a hurt person on the ground. So it's been something that I've, I don't know why I'm emotional, felt very, passionate about my whole life. So ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a physician. That was my goal. That's what I worked hard for in school to get the grades. Went to UC Irvine, undergraduate research, postgraduate research, my job after college, worked for a pharmaceutical company. But when I was looking into that, at that time, and we're talking, like, I've been a PA for 30 years, so we kind of have to, like, even go further back, 33, 34, 35, it was still very much a male-dominated career. And they really had the male-dominated expectations. 80 to 100-hour weeks, hey, if you can't hang with the sharks, get out of the pool. I mean, it was that kind of perspective. And I really struggled with that because I just thought, oh, man, like, I really want to be able to be with my kids, and I don't know how I can balance these two. This is it seems like an either or decision for me. So the cool thing is this is when God stepped in. So I was working for a pharmaceutical company here in Irvine, really struggling with that decision. I had worked, put James through his teaching program, through his credentialing program, student teaching, and then the plan was that when he got done, then I was going to go to medical school. So, you know, nights in our house were pretty boring. He was correcting tests. I was studying for the MCAT. And then when it came my time to study and take the MCAT and then go on, interviews to med schools, I got on a waiting list at a school back in the Midwest. And I came back to James and I said, I'm on the waiting list. And if I get accepted, we're going. And he's like, okay, wait a minute. So we're going to have to sell our house. I just got a job at Corona Del Mar High School, so we're just going to, like, leave and go to the Midwest, where I don't really want to go. And we had been married for maybe 3 years, right? So I felt this tension, as you can imagine, of trying to decide between med school or marriage. So then God. So when I was working at Allergan, I had my lab, and I would listen to music when I was doing my experiments. On certain days I would do experiments. But anyway, there was a woman that would come in every day at 11:30. Her name was Kim. She would come in 11:30. Now, I want you to kind of just, I know it's hard for you to picture, but this is like before internet, before YouTube, before cell phones, right? So like this is like, you know, when, you know, electricity just got started. She would come in and she would ask me for my radio at lunch every day at 11:30. So one time, you know, she came in and she asked, and I said, you know, just out of curiosity, what are you listening to? She goes, oh, well, there's a program on the radio that I really like. It's called Focus on the Family. And I went, oh, she's a Christian. Okay, cool. Awesome. So anyway, we just started talking, and then we were having lunch one time, and I heard her story, and it was absolutely amazing. I jumped the gun a little bit. I'm going to back up a little bit. The cool thing about working at that pharmaceutical company is God gave me a glimpse of what it looks like to work and balance kids. And it really gave me a really interesting perspective. So there was one woman who worked part-time, and she made just enough money to pay for childcare. And she thought, what am I doing, right? What am I doing? I'm working, and I'm just getting enough to pay for childcare. So she quit, and she became a full-time mom. And I'll get back to her in a little bit because she plays a part in my story later. The other woman that I was working with worked full-time, and her child had to go to daycare even when he was an infant. So I would hear stories from her, disappointing stories, which really gave me perspective. And so, for example, I'll tell you two of them. One was when he turned one, she had a big birthday party for him at the house, at her house, and at their condo, whatever. And he was happy to be in her arms until the daycare provider arrived. And then all he wanted to do was hang out in her arms. And she was devastated. She was hurt. Another time is when he was older. He was a toddler. And she pulled up in front of the house, and he was running down the sidewalk. And he tripped and fell and scraped his knee. And he turned back and ran to the daycare provider for comfort. And that hurt her too. And I remember thinking in my head, man, I don't want my kid to run to anyone else for comfort but me. And by the way, I have sewn up all of my kids and my husband. It really kind of gave me pause. It really gave me perspective. Like, there's a cost. There's a cost to working full time. There's a cost. I don't want anyone else to raise my kids. I don't want anyone else to learn. I don't want my kids to learn anyone else's values. I don't want anyone else to learn, anyone else's language. I want them to see me as their mom. I want them to learn my values, right? So I really was wrestling, God, you've given me this passion. I think it's medical school. How am I going to balance this? What am I going to do? So I meet Kim. So Kim and I were having lunch one time, and she tells me her story. So she had just gotten married to this wonderful guy named Dave. And she had taken off and they had gone to med school. She had gotten accepted to Johns Hopkins, which you guys don't know. I mean, it's a pretty reputable med school. And she said that they were newly married. She could already tell the stress and the strain that it was creating on their marriage. And so she dropped out of her after one semester. And my jaw hit the floor, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you got into Johns Hopkins and you dropped out of one semester? After one semester, she said, yeah, I could already tell the strain that it was putting on my marriage. She goes, I married a keeper, and I kind of felt like, you know, what am I going to do? So I was very impressed by that decision, and then even more impressed as she continued on with her story. And she said, so we had four kids, and after the youngest one went off to elementary school, she goes, both my husband and I went back to graduate school, got our PhDs in biochemical engineering. Badass, right? And so he was working full-time at the pharmaceutical company, and she was working part-time because she still had kids, you know, in elementary school and high school and stuff like that. So so I remember I asked her that one time. Actually, she said, you know, have you ever heard about, you know, the physician assistant program? And I said, no, I'm not really, I don't want to be a medical assistant. I said, she goes, no, it's not medical assistant, physician assistant. And honestly, I had never heard about it. It was really kind of relatively new at that point in time. She goes, really look into it. I think this is something that you would really like. And she held me accountable too, because every time I'd see her in the hallways at work, she would ask me, have you called? Have you looked into it? Have you, she'd always like, have you done it, you know? And so I remember asking her one time, I said, you know, hey, do you ever regret your decision? And I remember she had this really like pensive look on her face, and she goes, yeah, some days I do, and some days you will too. So I met with the PA director, the director of the program out here in Pomona. At that time, there were very few programs. One was at USC, one was in Pomona. And the PA director, she was a full-time mom and a part-time PA, and she did the PA director, and we totally connected. And I ended up getting into that program. But one of the things that was dependent upon me getting in the program is I had every prerequisite for medical school, right? But there was one class I needed to take for PA school. And I remember asking her, like, how can this be? How can I have every prerequisite for med school, but I need this one class for PA school? She goes, just do it. So anyway, so I signed up for the class. I found out late, so I was already late to the class. The class was already full, so I had to add it. So I remember I showed up, and the professor came in, and he said, okay, everybody's here who's registered for the class. Everybody get up, and everyone who's registered, sit in the seats, and everyone who wants to add, stand around the periphery of the class. And so I got up, and I stood on the periphery. And he said, so I'm going to take roll, and depending on how many people don't show up, that's how many people I can add to the class. So he took roll, and there were 7 people that he could add. And I look around the periphery of the class, and there's probably 20 people wanting to add this class. And I remember thinking, okay, God, you know what? This class is only offered once a year. And I'm already 28 years old, right? So my biological time clock is like clickety, 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 right? And that was one of the reasons I didn't want to reapply to med school, because application to med school, it takes at least a year and a half. So now I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be 30 if I get into med school. I'll be finished when I'm 34. I've got a 3-year residency, so I'm 37. When am I have kids? When are we going to, you know, that whole thing. So that whole time clock is going off in my head, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm standing in the back of the room. You know how much I need this class. If I don't get into this class, it's going to delay this whole process another year. So I just was in the back of the class just praying. And he said, so I'm going to accept 7 people. I'm going to write 1 through 7 on these, I'm going to write numbers on this. And he put it in a dissection bin. And he goes, I want everybody to come up to the front of the class and grab a number. And the first 7 people I'll add to the class. So I remember I just stood back and I was just praying. Okay, God, you know what? If I get in this class, I need it. And if I don't get it, then we're going to have to come up with another plan. So anyway, there was a mad rush. Everybody from the periphery of the class just pounced on this, and they're just grabbing numbers. It was just chaos. And I remember I walked up, and there was 1 number left in the bin. And I just picked it up, and I turned around. I'm walking back, and it was number 1. And I just felt like God's like, you're in. Like, this is, I want you in this class. So anyway, and that class was dependent on me getting into PA school that year. So anyway, I got in. Okay, so I graduated then when I was 32 and a half. I was in a study group of five girls, and we all had a bet as to who was going to get pregnant first. I won. So I had my first son, David, when I was 33. I had my second son, Andrew, when I was 35. And I worked just 2 days. So I took maternity time off, right? Big fan of breastfeeding, best thing you do for your kids. And I worked, so I took some time off for breastfeeding and for maternity leave. And then I would just work 2 days a week. I would work Wednesday, and I told him I would work every Saturday. And who doesn't want Saturday off, right? Everyone's like, oh, you could have Saturday, right? You can have it. Like, and I'm like, I will work every Saturday. And the cool thing was, is because James was home, right? And he could watch the kids. So I would get a babysitter for a few hours on Wednesday, and I would work the swing shift. So that means I would start at 3:00 and I would work until 1:00. And so I would just need a couple of hours of babysitting, and then James would come home by 5:00 and he would have the kids. I would always make sure that there was some type of food or casserole because I didn't expect him to come home from work and then have to cook, right? So there's always something he could just throw in the microwave or the oven. And then as the kids got older, then when they went into elementary school, then I started working 3 days a week, so Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And again, it was the swing shift. I was able to, cause everyone wants day shifts, right? Everyone wants, and so everyone's like, oh, you want to work till 1 or 2 in the morning? Sure. You can have that. Right. So I'm like, I'll take it, because I was able to be present during the day with my kids. And then I would have a babysitter the last part of the day. And then I would, you know, obviously be tired the next day, cause I'd get to bed at like 2:00 in the morning, but we can all do those things, right? We're all used to being tired as moms, right? It just comes with the territory. And so I worked 3 days a week while they were in elementary school. The cool thing with that is I had the time to be room mom, team mom, volunteer at their school. I was able to be present with them during the day, and I was able to have some fun, which I will touch on at the end of my talk. Let's see. I remember this distinctly. So I was bathing the boys, and you know how sometimes it's just easier to get in the bathtub when the kids are little, right? And I remember I had Andrew, who was an infant, and David, who was a toddler. And James came home, and in his wisdom, he goes, I think I'm going to go back to, you know, get my master's degree, because it's going to propel me a lot further up on the pay scale as a teacher. And I said, okay, so what's that going to look like? He goes, yeah, that's going to be class every Tuesday, Thursday night for 3 years. And I'm like, you're drop the F-bomb, kidding me. Like, you're kidding me, right? Like, I'm already exhausted, right? And so basically Tuesdays and Thursdays, he would leave at 7:00 in the morning and he would get back around 9:30 at night. It was long days, 3 years of that. But you know what? We can go through all that. We do that as moms, right? We do that. We put up with it. So anyway, so he went and got his master's, and it did kind of bump him up on the pay scale, which was great. And I still continued to work 3 days a week because my priority was my kids, right? And then when my kids got into high school, then I started going full time. And then I only work like the minimum full time. So they want me to work 12 shifts a month. And I'm like, I will work 12 shifts a month. So they actually had this conversation with me a couple of months ago. And they said, we really need you to work more. I go, yeah, I don't really want to work more. And they're like, no, you really, like, we need you to work more. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't, I'm not going to work more. And they're like, well, you know, Brenda and Mike, man, they're working like 18 shifts a month. And I'm like, good job for Brenda and Mike. They are rock stars. I'm staying at 12. And they're like, okay. So anyway, let's see. It was kind of ironic. There was a friend of mine, Dave, who knew me before. He knew the struggles that I was with this whole med school thing. And he ended up getting married and moving away. We got together one time as families. We got all our kids together. We met, all met in Colorado. And he was asking me about my journey. And so I was telling him, you know, that I'm a PA. He just starts laughing, and he goes, oh, so you get to practice medicine without the pay, the power, and the prestige. I thought, yeah, that's true, yeah. On the next slide, it talks about, I think you're going to have to forward 2 slides. So decision to work, let's go back 1 to the decision to work. So, so the things that you want to ask yourself, like, so it is a difficult decision, and it's a very individual and personal decision. And if you have the option to stay home with your kids, 100% do it. But there's some people who feel called. Mine was certainly a calling. I had this passion ever since I could remember. And the big thing are you called by God to work? Does God want you to work? Second of all, and importantly too, is it approved by your husband, right? This is not something that you want your husband on board with too. And then decision to work full-time or part-time. Or if you want to wait till later. So let's go ahead and advance to the next slide. And I'm going to talk about this Bible study later, so go ahead and skip one more. My story, one more. Another one? Okay, to work or not to work. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on. Okay, so are you working for a sense of identity? Are you looking for a sense of worth? Then you have to really kind of, evaluate your motives. You get additional money. That's nice. That's always nice. It's going to require more time constraints, more time demands, right? And we're humans, and we only have 24 hours in a day, and our kids need us. You have to worry about childcare, rides to and from school. Those two things always stress me out tremendously. Who's going to pick up my kids from school? Who's going to watch my kids? Who am I going to trust to leave? And I don't have parents around to help, so I had to get babysitters. Always available to go to some of their activities. So I missed a lot of games. I made the games that I could and activities and back to school nights, but there were certainly some that I had to miss. Not working, then you're available to be a full-time mom. And no one will love your kids more than you. No childcare worker, no babysitter, nobody's going to love your kids more than you will. You'll only get one shot at raising your kids. And it was really interesting when my kids were little, I kind of thought, man, I have 18 years to influence. No, I don't. You don't. Because the first 2 years, right, they have no idea. All they want to do is eat and poop, right? And then they go through this me and no phase, right? And so literally you have 10 years. So maybe from 2 to 12. Because at 12, they're getting into junior high. They're looking at their peer group for, their decisions about life and, how they're going to be. You have 10 years, honestly, not 18. It goes by fast. You can provide stability and bonding and security that will influence them their entire lives. Like I said, I wanted my kids to know that I was their mom. You don't need childcare. You're able to homeschool if you want to do that. Hats off to you homeschoolers. That was not in my wheelhouse. And you can be available to be involved in their school and activities. The next slide, what do I have in that one? Okay, so when my kids were little, when we were all pregnant and having kids, I was involved in this interesting Bible study, and there was six of us. I put five because I wasn't counting me, but there was six girls. One worked full-time in finance, and she had her mom here to do daycare. So if you have to work full-time and you have your mom, that's a pretty good option. And now she's doing really well and living in Shady Canyon. So anyway, and then one was a full-time mom, and then one decided not to have kids, and then one had to work because her husband had MS, and she needed to work full-time to maintain insurance benefits. And then two of us worked part-time. Having the science background that I do, I always loved these mini experiments because I'm like, okay, whose kids are going to turn out better, right? And I look back now, and all the kids turned out pretty good. I mean, they all need counseling. We all need counseling, right? But the biggest factor that influenced them was that there was a divorce. And that was the biggest factor. And so the best thing that you can give your kids is a healthy marriage. I can't emphasize that enough. And your children should be a priority, and they are, but they shouldn't be the priority, okay? Obviously, God, second your husband, and it's hard at this age, you guys. I totally get it. It's hard, man. They're peeing, they're pooping, they're angry, they're napping, you're tired, and the husband's off in the periphery like, man, I can't do anything right. So your husband has to be a priority. Date nights, we had couch time, 15 minutes at the end of the night after the kids would go down, we'd have couch time and just say, hey, how was your day? Just reconnect. So your husband has to be that priority. The soccer, the, you know, all that other stuff, it's third. Next slide. So these are the discussion questions that, do you guys have those? Did you print, were they printed out in
just stay up there.
Okay, all right, perfect. So there's some discussion questions about whether to work and what are your motivations and how is this going to work? Is this a, you know, do I feel that God is calling me to work even? Because if you don't have to work, you don't, you know? And then, I'm just saying. And then I have some additional discussion questions for those people who want to work. Like, how am I going to balance this? How am I going to make this work? And then the last, I think there's another discussion question. Okay, so this one is relevant whether you work or not. And this is actually a fun one to end on. So how will I make time for self-care and why is that important to me as a mother and a worker? So remember my friend who worked part-time and made just enough money to pay for childcare and she's like, screw this, I'm just going to stay home. So she had been bugging me for years. She said, you know, there's a fun group of women who are mountain biking every Friday morning for like 2.5 hours. And I'm like, oh, man, I have a newborn, I can't do it. And so another, you know, then time would go by and I'm like, no, he's only a year old. No, I'm, you know, I can't do it. I said, tell you what, when he turns 2, I'll show up. So he turned 2 and I showed up and I've been riding with these women for, let's see, David's 20. So 25 years I've been riding with these women and they're a bunch of crazy women. And we had so much fun laughing and giggling and it was such a great outlet. I paid a babysitter, I think, $25 to show up for 2.5 hours on Friday. And it was the best $25 I ever spent because I would come home rejuvenated. I had time with girlfriends. I was speaking in multisyllable words, right? I could hardly wait till my kids got out of preschool and kindergarten, you know, because the half days, so I could actually go to lunch with them. I'm like, whoa, lunch. Lunch out of the house, no more peanut butter and jelly crusts, you know, off the kids' sandwiches. And so this is kind of what it looks like now. So these women I've been playing with for about 25 years. And I think it's one more slide. So the ones in that top upper corner, and then it turns out, well, there's a couple of us that really like to surf, so we would get together and surf every Monday. And then turns out a couple of us like to ski, and then we're all trying to figure out paddle, you know, a pickleball and stand-up paddling. So we have a great time. My husband would always joke to his coworkers that he would always know that he had a happy wife when he would see my wetsuit dripping in the backyard. So I can't emphasize that enough. Make time for yourself, even if it's just 2 hours or 2.5 hours. Do something fun. Go for a walk. Meet with friends. Do something because it will fill your tank. And you can go back to the discussion questions. So I think that's it, is it right? Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. Anyway, I'll take questions if you want. If you want to hear fun stories from the ER, I can offer those as well. Well, yeah, I mean, I think if you have a conversation with them as a younger and they're like, gee, you didn't come to my band recital and you didn't come to my back to school night, I'm sure they're hurt. But in retrospect, now they look back and they're just like, it was awesome. It was awesome. They have, like I said, we all need therapy, right? But I think they look back on it and they go, yeah, we knew that you literally compromised my career. So I could be a mom. And I know they're really appreciative of that. Yeah, they understand that sacrifice, yeah. Anyone else have any questions? Yeah. No union. No, just, yeah. You just put on your big girl panties and say no. But I mean, I think that's the big thing that, you know, as far as finding a job, if you do want to work, just make sure that where you work is, no, you know, they know that you're a mom and that's really your first priority and you're going to work hard. But they just, it's important that they understand there's going to be certain things that are asked of you as a mom. And are they flexible with that? Are they okay with that? So that would be a big question to, you know, to ask if you're interested in getting like a part-time job. So, yeah.
Dynamics with your husband, like you sort of needing to work, did that bother him? Like, and I mean, obviously he was okay with it, but you kind of needed to. So just, was there any tension that he wasn't providing?
I think he kind of thought it, my decision, well, he knew that that was a compromise for me too. And I think he kind of was relieved that it wasn't medical school. So, cause he knew that's kind of the direction that we were headed. That was the direction I had always kind of been headed. So he knew that, I think he was just like, oh, whew, it's not med school. Okay. It's only 3 days a week. I mean, we can do this. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah.
I would like to hear your most unique ER story.
I have so many of them. So many of them. And a lot of them have to do with kids. Most unique. Not something sad. Okay, so there was this mom. Oh, you have to come see me. I make it fun. It's fun. Okay, so when I worked at Chalk, actually, I would always carry lollipops in my pocket, so for the kids. Because, you know, if you have, you know, an adult's going to follow your finger, but they're not going to, like, follow your finger. They'll follow a lollipop, but they're not going to follow your finger. So there was a mom that came in one time. She was Hispanic, and she said, my kid has bloody diarrhea, and she brought in her little kid. And the kid was maybe 2.5, maybe 3, no more. And I'm just like, yeah, right, how do you know the kid has bloody diarrhea? She, like, literally reaches in her purse and pulls out a Ziploc baggie of this red liquid, and I'm like, okay, great, that looks tasty. Anyway, so I double gloved up and dipped my finger in it, and I put it on the little testing strip, and it tested negative for blood. I'm like, oh, that's interesting, but it was bright red, and I'm like, So I'm like, okay, so have you given her, like, any, like, red popsicles, red candy? And she's like, no. I go, red Jello. She's like, no. And the little girl is standing over there, and she's like, Cheetos. I'm like, no. Cheetos are not going to make your poop red. And I said, so any, like, you know, candy that's red, any beets, like, any red juice? And mom's like, no. And the little girl reaches in her diaper bag and pulls out a Costco-sized bag of hot Cheetos. And she goes, hot Cheetos! And I look, and it's like 9/10 gone, right? I'm surprised she didn't have any, like, residue around her mouth. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that will make your poop red. So discharge instructions, no mas, hot Cheetos. So that was fun. Let's see, there was a time I was sewing up a five-year-old, and we had like this curtains in between the beds, and the bed right next to him, there was this drunk guy who was really being obnoxious, loud, cussing, just completely out of control. And I'm trying to sew up this five-year-old kid, and his eyes are like this big, and the parents' eyes are this big, because like all of the profanity coming from this, like right on the other side of the curtain. So I go, I'll be right back. So I go and I poke my head around the curtain and I look at this guy and I go, hey, you know what? I kind of have a young family over here. Can you kind of like keep it down? And so he's like, oh, you know, just expletive, 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 right? And so I come back over and I look at the tech and I said, hey, can you get me a spinal needle? And she's like, a spinal? I go, yeah, just get me a spinal needle. So I don't know if you guys know spinal taps, but it's a 3.5-inch long needle. And then we have irrigating syringes, which are about this big. So I got the irrigating syringe, and I pulled up some saline, and then I put the spinal tap needle on top. So with the syringe and with the spinal tap needle, it was literally this big. And then I'm sewing up this kid's face, so I have blood all over my gloves. So I come around the corner, and I have this syringe, and I squirt it up in the air, and the liquid shoots out. And I go, if you don't shut up, I'm going to sew your lips together. And he didn't say a word the rest of the time. It was awesome. So those are my, like, yeah.
Do you have any, like, medical tips for little kids? Like, anything?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to actually give you guys my phone number because I do consulting, but I just want to remind you that you get what you pay for, right? But I do consulting. In fact, I'm going to be visiting Karina after this and take a look at what's going on with her. So I do, so I'll have moms text me all the time, you know, like with my, I have some young moms in my Abide group. You know, like my kid has a fever, or my kid has some, you know, what do you think? And I'm just like, oh, you know, so I figure out how much, you know, Tylenol, ibuprofen they need. I remember Debbie Niffen, I don't know if you know Debbie Niffen, but her son was sick. And she said, you know, it's been going on for 6 days. And I'm like, oh, wow, 6 days with a fever. Okay, that's a little long. I said, you might want to just bring him to urgent care and get someone to take a look at him. And so she goes, man, she goes, you know, she had newborn, then she had her young, you know, the toddler who's sick, and then she had Selah, who's special needs, and her husband, you know, is out of town. She goes, man, every time I go into urgent care, they always just come home sicker than when we went. And she goes, and I can't get in to see him tomorrow. And I go, okay, you know what? Tell you what, I got tomorrow off. I'll come by and I'll just bring my little stuff and look in their ears and look in their throat. But on the way there, I picked up donuts with sprinkles. And there's some little things that we've learned along the way at, in the ER is that sick kids don't eat. And so it was kind of more of a test. So if I ask a parent, like if a parent comes in and they're like, my kid is sick and da-da-da-da-da, whatever. I'm like, are they eating? Yeah, they're eating. Okay. They're good, you know. Sure, they have a fever. Sure, they feel terrible. But if they're eating, they're good. A lot of times parents will come in and they're just like, oh, they haven't had anything to eat for like 24 hours. And I just grab their thighs and I go, do you see these thighs? They could live off of these for days. And then they kind of look at me and I'm like, and Jesus, he didn't have anything to eat for 40 days. And look how it turned out for him. You know, and the nurse actually like had to leave the room. She was laughing so hard. So anyway, so I bring the donuts over and I check him out. He's fine, but he thinks and he still says to this day it was the sprinkles on the donut that made him feel better. So it's a personal joke with Debbie Niffen. I'll bring some sprinkles over. But yeah, I'll give you guys my phone number. Please don't hesitate. I tell this to everybody that I, you know, all my friends. If you go to the ER, please like call me ahead of time because I can probably steer you like you probably don't need to go. And then there's some times where it's like, yeah, it's 11 o'clock at night, and I know you don't want to hear this, but you probably should go. Or like my neighbor, like, I'll be in your driveway in 2 minutes, we're going. So she was having an anaphylactic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people show up at home, and Nancy is like an angel.
Well, it's just because I work there. Well, I mean, honestly, like the big thing is, do I need to go to the ER or not, right? And a lot of times you just want to bounce that off somebody, like a third, in, like a objective third party person. And so I can be that for you guys if you want. So maybe save you a trip. Yeah.
And I still remember Nancy in the foyer at Grace Fellowship when you found out you got into PA school on a Sunday morning in the foyer back when.
Man, that was a long time ago. Oh, yeah. You should see the mucus picture that Sandra sent me this morning. She goes, I hope you're not eating. I go, it doesn't matter. Like, I can eat and look at this stuff. But I'm just like, you might want to get on antibiotics. I'll call it in for you later. Right, and he's going to survive, and he's going to be fine, and he's not going to die, so you could relax, yeah. Sometimes you need to just speak that into people's lives. They're going to be fine.
Any other questions for Nancy?
No, seriously, 100%. Yeah, just identify yourself when you call. Hey, ready? I'll give it to you. Honestly, like, no, seriously, I'm available for consults, you guys, honestly. That's fine. No, I already have a lot of texts. Every like, seriously, I had 2 medical consults this morning already. So, seriously, no, it is. It's my calling. I love this, you guys. I absolutely love this. Okay, so it's 714. My name is Nancy May. 714-200-7168. All right. So if your kid's vomiting, I can call in vomiting medicine, so you don't have to go to the ER. Right. I could do prescriptions, yeah.
You guys, Nancy's a gift, and she will be even more of a gift if you get to call her.
I actually haven't experienced this, but I hear it all the time.
I know, you haven't hit
I
me
haven't,
up for that.
I haven't.
You haven't.
What I loved is Nancy called herself 36 and a half. How many? 36 and a half. Who does that? Do you count your, are you 36 and three quarters sometimes? Or
I'm not 36 anymore.
Oh, really? Shocking.
I wish I was.
I would love to just pray. Can I pray?
Sure.
Father, I actually am very aware that there are women in this room who are wrestling with what you have for them. And Lord, more than anything, for each person, we need to hear your voice. Mm-hmm. We need to be led by you. We need to be listening. And so, Lord, I pray that as we talk about these questions that we wrestle with and these women who are working already and the women who aren't working and the women, that we would have just a sensitivity to one another, that you have something specific for each one of us. And really what we're wanting to hear is your voice and be led by you. Mm. Lord, I pray that what Nancy shared would just be a catalyst for conversations in this room, but also conversations with spouses to understand, to see one another's needs. Lord, I love how she said that our marriages need to be primary. Lord, I know the struggle for that in this room. I know my own struggle in that. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us continue to have our eyes on the things that you have for us. Lord, I thank you for Nancy. I pray that you would continue to bless this ministry that she has through the medical field. And I pray that you would continue to allow her to thrive in this. And Lord, I do pray that the women here would feel a comfort level to actually reach out and to experience that as well. Lord, we love you. We thank you that we get to do this together. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Love you, Nancy.